I'm going to be teaching on faith promise missions giving this morning. I want you to see that it is a lesson taught in the Bible, and it's a concept in the Bible. And hopefully, as I teach this morning, I'll help you to understand a little bit more about what faith promise is and what it's not. Some folks have heard the word faith promise, and it's been presented wrong in some cases, and so some folks might think that it's something that it is not. But I want you to see that it's a biblical pattern for giving towards missions, and I'm asking you to turn your Bibles to start with this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to teach a bit on faith, and we're going to teach a bit on missions, and then we'll see how those work together for faith, promise, missions. What I want to challenge you to do is ask God how He wants you to give, and then give what He wants you to give. And it makes sense that if God's the one that tells us what to give, then God would supply what we're supposed to give. It just makes a whole lot of sense. But I'm going to preach a message to help you to make sense of all that. So Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3 is where we're going to start this morning. And we're going to talk, starting off, just about faith. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." I want you to notice this phrase about faith now. "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Let me read that last phrase to you again. "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." God has given every man a measure of faith. You don't have to be saved to have faith, because God said God has given it to every person. You know, think about this. I want to prove it to you. We all accept many things by faith. You may say, I don't have much faith, or I'm really not a person of faith. Well, wait just a moment. We all came and sat down in a church pew this morning with faith that it would hold us. Most of us didn't get under and look at the legs of the church pew and, you know, kind of shake it. Maybe some of you did, because you've been in church before and you understand that these might be a little wobbly. We didn't shake it. Most of us came in, we just sat down, just by faith that it would hold us. You may say, well, that's just silly. But no, that's faith. It really is. You trusted that pew would hold you up. Let me give you a lot bigger one. If you believe in creation, which I do, you must believe it by faith, because you can't prove it. It's not observable. It can't be proven in the laboratory. Now, there's evidence for creation, but you can't see proof of it. And by the same reasoning, a person that believes in evolution, they must believe it by faith, because they can't prove it. So every one of us here, God has given us faith, and you use faith every day. If you turned a light switch on this morning, you turned the light switch on in faith that the light would turn on once you flipped the switch. Faith has a lot to do with much of our lives. In fact, the only way to answer the three most important questions in life is by faith. You may know those three questions. Let me give them to you just in case you don't. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Or what's my purpose? And where am I going when I die? The three most important questions in life. Where did I come from? The only way to answer that is by faith. What's my purpose? Why am I here? The only way to answer that, and I'll show you, is by faith. And then where am I going when I die? The only way to answer that question as well is by faith. And here's what you need to understand. That's the way God made it. God designed it that way. God designed it so that you can't see where we came from. It's by faith. By faith in the Word of God. God says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So that is, you have to take that by faith. You just got to have faith. You got to trust Him. God designed it that way. You know, He could have recorded creation so we could see it and believe, but He didn't. I mean, really, if God wanted to prove creation to us, He could have done that. He could have made it so you could look through a time warp or something. I don't know how He could, but somehow He could have proven creation to us, but He chose not to do it. He could have taken pictures of creation and showed it to us now, but He chose not to do that. You've got to believe creation by faith if you're going to believe it. He could force us to live our lives to please Him, but He doesn't. He could take us for a few moments to either heaven or to hell and show us where we're going when we die, but He doesn't. We have to answer all these questions with faith. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Faith is a foundation for all of our life, even though we don't realize we're using faith very often. See, that's the way God wants it, because according to Romans 14, 23, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If we do something not of faith, according to this verse, it's sin. You know, we interpret the world we live in by faith, the where we come from part, where everything else came from. You've got to interpret that by faith because you can't see. You can't see creation. You can't see where you came from. We live our life by faith, the why we're here. We determine our eternity by faith, where we are going. These are things that we determine by faith. And I think most of you would agree with me. I'm just laying the foundation for this message, but everything in our life, the Bible says, if it's not of faith, it is sin. And so much of it is determined by faith. So why should we try to reach the world with the gospel without faith? Do you see where I'm going now? We get saved by faith. We live our lives by faith. We even look back and we look at the evidence of the creation all around the world. You can see the Grand Canyon. You can see fossils up on Mount Everest. And you look at all of this, you say, wow, that's evidence that points towards a creation and then a flood. We look at that, but it's still by faith. If we look at the entire world by faith, we live our life by faith, we determine where we're spending eternity by faith, by accepting God's gift of forgiveness, that's faith. Why should we try to reach the world with the gospel by sight? I want to challenge you this morning that our missions giving ought to be also by faith. Now think about this morning. This is God's world. Everything and everyone belong to God. And God wants the entire world reached with the gospel of His Son. Every person in this world was bought with a price, and God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is the one that loved the world. God is the one that gave His Son, and God commanded us to reach everybody. He said in Matthew 28, 18, this is the last few verses of the book of Matthew, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the world is God's, and He wants it reached with the gospel. Let me ask you a question. If the world is God's and He wants it reached with the gospel, which He completely provided without any help from us, doesn't it make sense that God is more than willing to supply the money that's necessary for the cost of reaching the world? I know that was a big statement, but let me try to come back to that just for a second. The world belongs to God. Every person in this world. The Bible says that God created man, and then Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for the sin for every man. God created us. We belong to Him. He paid the price for us. Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for our sins. And then God said, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody in this world belongs to God. He wants to redeem them. He loves them. He paid the price for them already. And then He told us to go into all the world and reach them with the gospel. Tell them that I love them so much I died on the cross, and all they have to do is accept what I already did to pay for their sins. He's done all of that. So doesn't it make sense that when He says to go and reach them, He provided His Son. Jesus died on the cross, gave everything He had. If He would provide His Son, don't you think He would provide the finances that we would need to do what He said to do? Think about that for just a minute. It's God's plan to reach the world with the gospel. He told us to get involved doing it. But what I want you to see this morning is that not only did He tell us to do it, but He is going to make a way for us to do it. He's going to provide the finances for us to reach the world with the gospel. And then I want you to see how that works. Philippians 4:19 is a verse that you probably know without even turning there. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4. What's the context here? In Philippians chapter 4, Paul was speaking to the church about how they were supporting him as a missionary. The context of Philippians chapter 4 was, "You're supporting me as a missionary," and he's talking to them about that. So it's not just this random verse pulled out of the middle of nowhere. He's talking about missions giving in this case, about how this church in Philippi was supporting him, the Apostle Paul, as a missionary. And as he's talking about giving towards missions, he says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So I ask you this question. If the world is God's, everybody in the world is God's, if God so loved the world that He already gave His only begotten Son, and if He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, doesn't it make sense that He would use His riches to reach this world with the gospel? It makes sense to me. And then in Philippians 4:19, He says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul was teaching the church in Philippi, a church just like ours, that God would supply all of their needs. He taught them that God would supply all of their needs based on God's riches. Now, that's a pretty amazing thought, because it's not based on what I have. It's not based on what you have. It's not based on what our church can pull together to be able to send missionaries around this world. That's not what it's based on at all. The way God is going to supply our needs for missions, as we see the context, as Philippians chapter 4 was talking about missions, the way God is going to supply our need to reach the world of missions is through His riches. Now that changes the whole picture. Because if I was just going to look at my budget and I was going to say, "Okay, God, I've got to live and I've got to pay this, I've got this much left over, so I'm going to use this for missions," that's not going to do very much. Because there's not a whole lot left over every month. And if I asked everybody to testify, I might get a few hands. There's just not. I understand that. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is, "I'm going to supply all your need according to my riches, according to the riches of glory." Now, what are the riches that He's talking about? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, we don't really know what riches God has. Well, I don't know. There's not a number figure that you could put next to it. We know a little bit about heaven. We've gotten a little peek at His riches. The Bible says in Psalms, I think, that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Getting a little idea of His riches. I've never owned a cow. Has anybody ever owned a cow? I've never owned a cow. But cattle on 1,000 hills is probably more than 1,000 cows, because you got more than one cow per hill. I don't know. But we got a little idea of God's riches. Then you start looking at what heaven is like, and you get a little peek there that He paves His streets with gold. We use tar, asphalt, gravel. You know, the cheap stuff to pay our streets. But God paves His streets with something that we collect. I mean, think about it. If God was to pave one of the streets in Albuquerque with gold, how long would that last before it got all chipped away and taken everywhere? It wouldn't, because we think it's valuable. He paves His streets with what we give to each other on our wedding day. Can you imagine? "Honey, I love you so much. I got you some gravel and some tar to give you." See, these are His riches. He paves His streets with the gold. He makes His walls of the most valuable precious stones that we know of. If we look at Revelation, see what the walls of New Jerusalem are made of. He makes His gates out of massive pearls. And we don't really know what His riches are, but He says, "I will supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I don't have to worry if God's going to supply the need for missions. He said that He would do it. We just have to do it according to His plan. God's more than capable of supporting the work to get the gospel around the world. We need to understand that. God can do it. He's got the riches available, but He's given us a plan. And if we'll do what He said to do, we'll work His plan, it'll work. God's more than willing to bless us to give above what we have ourselves to give. I'm going to show you the verses in 2 Corinthians here in just a moment, but I'm trying to lay this foundation. God has everything that our missionaries around this world need. You agree with me on that, right? I mean, He's got it. What is His plan to get it to them? His plan to get it to them has to do with us. God's plan for supporting missionaries around the world. And listen, there's not enough missionaries around the world. I really believe that if everybody would do what God said to do in His plan, that there would be plenty of missionaries and plenty of money to support all of those missionaries. We could reach the world with the gospel in one generation. It could happen if we would do what God said to do. The only generation that just about happened was that first generation of Christians, the Apostle Paul's generation. The Bible says that these disciples have turned the world upside down. And the Bible shows how they went through all Asia preaching the gospel. God's plan for supporting missions around the world is through faith promise missions. Now, He doesn't use those exact words, kind of like He doesn't use the word rapture in the Bible. But we know that there's a rapture. It will happen. So I want to teach. Really, I'm wanting to teach more this morning than preach. I want you to understand this. So some people, when you talk about faith promise missions, they'll call it different things. They may call it grace giving, which would be accurate. Whenever we are enabled to give above what we are able to give, that is God's grace. Anytime God's grace is involved in our life, we're able to do more than we could do on our own. Some people call it grace giving. You can call it whatever you want, but the Bible plan for giving to missions is by committing to God. And I could even show you a couple of verses right here in this text. I may not have time this morning. Committing to God a year at a time based on faith that God will tell you what to give and then provide for you to give it. Now, that was a very long sentence, so I want to read that to you again. The Bible plan for giving to missions is by committing to God a year at a time based on faith that God will, two things. First of all, tell you what to give and then provide for you to give it. Now, if you've heard teaching on faith promise missions before, it's possible that you heard a different teaching. Let me give you one of the teachings that you might have heard. I'm going to call it this morning sacrifice promise missions. That is, you make a commitment to give just based on something you feel like you can give and then sacrifice in order to be able to save the money to give. Now, that's not faith promise. And that's not what we're going to see in the Scriptures this morning. It's not me saying, I think I can skip a Starbucks once a week and I can use that money for missions, so I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to give that to missions. That's not faith promise missions. That's sacrifice promise. I'm going to promise based on a sacrifice that I'm making. Or I'm going to take the bus to work and instead of driving once a week, and I'll use that money for missions money. Now, that's you can call it, if you want to, sacrifice promise. It's me making a promise I'm going to give for this month, but give this much every week, and I'm going to give it based on how much I can sacrifice. Now, that's not faith promise missions giving. I want to show you that faith promise is based on faith, not me coming up with a number. And it's not this. It's not me closing my eyes and the first number that pops into my head. That's not faith promise either. Faith promise missions gets criticized that way. And some people will say, yeah, those faith promise missions givers, they just close their eyes, the first number that pops into their head, they write it down. That's not faith promise. Faith promise is you getting a hold of God, you praying to God and saying, God, what do you want me to give? Trusting that if God tells me what to give, God will provide what I'm supposed to give. It's really that simple. Okay, faith promise missions isn't sacrifice promise. It's also not sight promise. Not sight promise. That is, you make a commitment to give based on what you think you can afford. It's not looking at the budget and saying, okay, we've got this much money, so I'm going to commit to every month or every week giving this much money. Giving to missions based on your budget. That's not what faith promise is. That's, we could call it whatever you want to. That's giving by sight, giving by what we see. Faith promise is so much greater than that. God's plan's faith promise, and that's this. Making a commitment based on God directing the amount you should give, and then giving it and trusting Him to consistently supply it. Now, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are about Christians giving to missions. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is not just about giving. This is not about tithing. These particular chapters are about giving to missions. So if you could turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I had a long introduction, and we'll have a little bit less of the rest of the sermon, but you've got to understand, it's got to be based on faith. If you base it on faith, your faith is going to grow. There's a whole bunch of lessons that we could teach about faith. We just don't have time, but I'll give you this. If you exercise your faith, it will grow. If you don't, it will shrink. One of the great ways to grow your faith as a Christian is to get involved in faith promise missions giving, because what you're going to see is that God promised that He's going to supply, and He will give to you, not just give back, but pressed down, shaken together, running over, and your faith will be increased as you obey God and give towards missions the way He wants us to give. So in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul uses the churches in Macedonia as an example to the church in Corinth. Don't let the names throw you off, right? If you're in Macedonia, you're like, oh, that's so long ago or so far away. It could be any church being an example to any other church. We could say, now, this is not talking about the Bible, but just helping us understand how real it is. This could be like the church in Albuquerque being a church, an example to a church in El Paso or Santa Fe. It was one real church being an example to another real church. And so don't let the Corinth and Macedonia throw you off and say, oh, that was for them. No, it's for us. And these are Bible principles that are just as right today. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 8:1, the Bible says this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Notice what they're going through. They've got affliction. They've got a trial of affliction. They've got an abundance of joy. And they've got deep poverty. All of that added up. And we'll see what it adds up to in a moment. Verse 3. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now, this is just the first five verses of chapters 8 and 9, which are both full of the teaching on how to give to missions. But we're going to take these first five verses and just kind of break them down for a few minutes, and we're not going to be here long, but I want to teach you just a little bit from here. First of all, you notice the grace of God enabled them to give. He said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." God gave them grace to be able to give. That's why some people call faith promise missions grace giving. I think that's an accurate title as well, but I like the term faith promise because I know that it has to do with faith, and it's about me promising what I'm going to do for the year based on faith. So grace. Grace is something that God does in our lives that allows us to go beyond ourselves. These people had grace. They were to give. They were willing to give beyond themselves. The Bible says they were in deep poverty. They didn't have resources to give, but they had an abundance of joy. So affliction plus poverty plus joy, turns out that equals liberality. They were willing to give, and they were willing to give above and go beyond what they had. How do you give more than you have? Well, the only way that makes sense is if God gives to you and through you. See, I don't have to give what I have whenever God says, "Here, I want you to give to missions, and I'm just looking for a person that I can give this money to pass through." You ever heard of a pass-through account? We have one here at church. If somebody gives money to one of our church planters, Brother Pineda, for example, all right? He's starting a church, and he's 7 miles south of us, and they're having a big Sunday today. It's their open house Sunday. But some churches send us the money to give to them. Now, that money's not for us. If we use that money for us, we'd be misappropriating the funds. That money is supposed to go to them. And God is looking for Christians that can be like that and say, "I've got some money that needs to get to this missionary. I'm just looking for somebody that I can give it to that's not going to get stuck there and they're going to misappropriate it and use it for themselves." Faith promise missions is God saying, "Here, I want you to every week give this amount to missions and then trust that I'm going to give it to you. And once you make that commitment, pray for it. Trust that God will bless you that amount so that you can give it to missions." God's looking for channels. He's looking for conduits. He's looking for whenever I was a kid, I grew up in the South Valley, we had a lot of drainage ditches. He's looking for that channel that he can put money on this side and it'll get to where he wants it to go. So many times as Christians, he gives it to us and it gets stuck there. Now God wants to bless you, and he will bless you when you're involved in faith promise missions giving. But what he wants us to do is to be able to give beyond ourselves. So God, the grace of God enabled them to give. And then I want you to see that God wants us to exercise faith and not finances in reaching the world with the gospel. Remember, this is God's world. God wants to save the world. And God is more than willing to finance his work if we'll exercise faith to let him give it through us. When God sees someone who's a good steward of what he's given to him, he's more than willing to give him more so that more can be given. If God sees someone and he gives him a little bit and he's put on that person's heart to give an amount to missions, and he gives that person that amount to give to missions, and that person takes that amount and gives that to missions, God sees that person has a heart for missions, that person has a heart to obey, so I will keep blessing them so they can keep doing what I said to do. And God will continue to bless, but he always blesses, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, so that whenever a person is trusted by God to accept it and then to give it, God blesses in such a way that you end up with more than you gave. Remember the shovel illustration? The little shovel putting corn on this side, the big shovel putting corn back. We'll come back to that in just a little bit and it'll make more sense. The Christians of Macedonia that we're talking about had nothing to give. But because of their willingness to give, God provided a way for them to give. And they gave to missions. The Bible says, first of all, they were willing of themselves. Verse 5, they said, they gave their own selves to the Lord. You know, we really don't have anything that it takes to reach the world with the gospel. You might say, I don't have finances to reach the world with the gospel. Well, we don't have anything. It's God's message. It's the gospel. It's God's faith. God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Even in Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith. What's the next few words? And that not of yourselves. It's not even our faith that saves us. It's the faith that God gave us. It's God's message. It's God's faith. God supplies the faith for your own salvation, and God supplies the faith for us to reach the world with his gospel. It's God's message. It's God's faith. It's God's money. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then he says in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. What is missions? It's God's message. It's God's faith. And it's God's money. You put that all together, and I've got something to give to missions. I don't have a message to give. It's got to be God's message, the gospel. I don't even have the faith to give it. But he's given to every man a measure of faith, and he grows that faith, and he strengthens that faith as we obey. And it's not even my money. It's him saying, here, I'm going to trust you to let me bless you in this way so that I can let you give that money to missions. What an amazing plan this is. God's plan for reaching the world with the gospel is for us to send missionaries carrying his message, paid for with his money, given through his people, with the faith that God provided. It's an amazing plan. It's all on God to provide. He wants to provide. He can provide. He will provide, but God only provides through people who are willing to give by faith. Now, why is that? Why does he make the requirement on us to give by faith? Well, because according to the Bible, Romans 14:23, if it's not of faith, it is sin. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says this, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. The only way we can give and please God is when we give by faith. Faith promise is not a matter of finances, it's a matter of faith. So here's the questions and we're done. Do you have faith to allow God to tell you how much to give to missions? Just consider this morning. Do you have faith to allow God to tell you how much to give to missions? Now, if you don't beat yourself up about it. I'm going to talk to that in a minute. So do you have faith to allow God to tell you what to give? The second question, do you have faith to give that amount? Do you have the faith to say, God, would you show me what to give? And then once you show me, I'll go ahead and give it. That's faith. That's pretty big faith, in fact, because it's talking about money. And money is pretty precious to us. Do you have faith to trust that God is going to bless you for your faith? Can you say, God, I'm asking you to show me what to give. That I'm asking you, and then I'm just going to give it because you showed me. You told me, and that's obeying you. Then I'm just going to trust you that you blessed me for doing it. Those are some pretty big steps of faith. So if the answer is yes, you do, what I'm going to say to you is great. Do it and watch as missionaries are supported and God uses you as a channel to support them. It's an awesome feeling to realize I'm having a part in people getting saved all around the world and God told me to give it and I'm just going to give it and I'm just going to trust God to bless me. That's an amazing faith. And when you do that, God works and you'll get just a wonderful joy from that. But if the answer is no, if you say, I don't know that I have the faith to ask God to show me what to give. And if He gave it to me, I don't know that I have the faith to give it. And I certainly don't know that I have the faith to trust that He's going to bless me if I do give it. How is that faith going to get strengthened? How do you get that faith? Well, faith promise giving builds your faith. So if you don't have faith now, begin to give by faith and allow God to grow your faith. How do you begin to give by faith? Why don't you ask God for an amount and say, God, I don't have a lot of faith, but if You'd show me a small amount that I could give, that I could give by faith, and I'll give it, and then I'll trust You to provide. Let God start small with you. We wouldn't take our kids that are just learning how to walk, and they're not quite walking. I love watching new kids when they're just learning how to walk, because they fall down all the time. They don't get hurt. They're made of rubber or something. They just bounce, and they're fine most of the time. But we wouldn't put them out and tell them to run a race. We wouldn't expect that. We wouldn't take a baby that's drinking a bottle and, take him to Tucano's and feed him all the meat that they give. No, we wouldn't do that. So God says, listen, if you don't have the faith just to say, okay, I'll embrace faith promise missions giving and I'll ask God and I'll say, God, show me and I'll just do whatever you say. Just take a small amount. Take a small step. Take a baby step and allow God to show you in a small way that He'll provide for you. And do something in a small way to give to missions. And watch how God blesses you in that small way. And what happens is every time you take a step of faith and God comes through for you, your faith will grow stronger. And every time your faith grows stronger, you're ready to say, okay, I can take a bigger step of faith because I saw God work last time. We were praying for money for our missions conference. I told our teachers in our teachers' meeting this morning, we started missions conference with no money to be able to pay for our missionaries to come in. We didn't have money to put them in a hotel. We didn't have money to pay for their meals. We didn't have money to give them a love offering. And we had missionaries coming in from California, from Texas, from the Navajo Reservation, coming from all over. It's going to be expensive, but we decided to go ahead because we felt this is God's plan. And bringing the missionaries in would help our people to understand how great missions is. And if we're asking our people to give by faith, we sure ought to be able to plan this thing by faith. So went ahead and didn't change anything and had missionaries coming in. And then last, I think it was Friday or Saturday, I had to make some hotel reservations and we just didn't have the money to do that. And I was walking out and I was praying and I was walking around our neighborhood and I was praying, God, we need about $1,000 to be able to cover this. We don't have $1,000, but God, we need that. I mean, last week? I mean, we were so tight that we held our staff salaries for 3 days, 3 days after payday, just because we didn't have the money to pay them. That's how tight it was. So I was walking around just praying to God, and the next day we had a check come in to cover that $1,000 plus about $400. So God increased my faith a little bit. It's kind of like God was saying, go ahead with this missions conference. I can provide. Well, the missions conference happened. We had missionaries coming in. You got to hear them. You got to see them. You got to meet them. We gave them love offerings. I struggled with the love offerings. I really did. When you don't have money to give, how do you just give it to somebody and say, here, we want to be a blessing to you? Struggled with that. But God just put an amount to give, and we wrote checks for all the missionaries to be able to cover their gas. And think about this. They're giving a week to that they can't earn an income anywhere to come here. We got to take care of what they would have earned somewhere. So try to take care of that. It's about $3,500 or so that we wrote in love offering checks to the missionaries that came through. And I was just praying and walking around the neighborhood again. And even when I'm by myself in my car, just praying, God, would you please provide? Now, he'd strengthened my faith a little bit because he'd provided. And yesterday I came into the office and I opened the mail. I got a bad habit of opening mail. But I opened the mail and there was a check that we didn't expect. It came because of the refinance thing. I guess we had overpaid somewhere, about $4,115.51, approximately. Every bit was paid for. Every bit was covered. And what did that do for me? And why am I sharing it with you? See, I took a little step, and God strengthened my faith. Took a bigger step, and God strengthened my faith. I'm excited about missions this year. Watching God work and watching God answering prayers and now saying, God, what do you want me to give? I'm excited about what God can do because I know it's God's riches, not my riches. And I just kind of wanted to transfer that to you this morning. I want you to see it's a biblical model. It's not sight promise. It's not sacrifice promise. It's not close your eyes, let a number pop into your head promise. It's let God give you a number. Let God direct you. What God orders, God will pay for. If you order it, you're going to pay for it. Let it be God. Let God. If you are a Christian, you ought to know that God is real and God does speak and God does lead. Can you trust Him? Just a little bit of faith, just enough to say, God, would you show me what you want me to give? And then, God, if it's of you, I'll just give it. And we'll learn more about the biblical model for missions. I know it goes through the whole two chapters, chapters 8 and 9. We'll learn more about that. Father, I pray that you would use this message this morning to help us to understand how important it is to give by faith to missions. I believe it's your plan. I believe that it's the plan that works the very best. And I believe that it's based on your riches, not just what we can come up with. But I also believe that if you know that someone's not going to have the money and you're not going to provide it for them, that you're not going to ask them to give. It's a wonderful thing that we can just trust you because you know the future. You know what's coming around the corner. So Lord, I ask that as we look at missions for this next year, that you'd make it real clear to each of us what you'd have us to give. You'd guide us and you'd direct us that direction. And I pray that you'd help us to have the faith to simply say yes and to obey. And then to have the faith that you'll bless us for doing it because that's what you said you would do.